An historic earthquake in Japan. How is it affecting the rest of the world?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Today's massive 8.9 quake in Japan devastated the northern part of that country. Damage came from the shaking, plus there's destruction from the subsequent tsunami. It's also rattling a Japanese economy that has seen better days. John Brinsley is a reporter for Bloomberg News in Tokyo, and he's joining us right now. Hi, John.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing over there, and what was it like?
Well, it was pretty scary. This was clearly the strongest one I've ever been in, and there have been aftershocks as recently as 5 or 10 minutes ago.
Wow. You know, how are businesses and Japanese companies reacting to all of this, John?
Tokyo accounts for more than 10% of all of Japan's gross domestic product. It's the epicenter of the financial and government world. To give you an idea of how busy it is, there are something like 6 million passengers that go through Tokyo's trains every day. Those trains have been stopped. The government has said that they're considering asking the United States military for help. There are nuclear power plants in the prefecture of Fukushima that have been shut down, and one of them is having trouble with its cooling system, and they've ordered an evacuation in part of the area.
So the economy is just ground to a halt.
Well, the economy hasn't ground to a halt. I mean, the yen actually strengthened on some speculation that Japanese companies would have to repatriate their large foreign currency reserves back to Japan to help with construction. But this is going to be a major rebuilding effort on the part of the Japanese government.
I want to talk about that because Japan is in a whole lot of debt. How's the government going to be able to respond to this?
As you say, Japan's debt is somewhere around 200% of their GDP. Now, the reason that the government bond situation here does not resemble that in, say, Greece or Portugal or Spain is that more than 90% of all Japanese government bonds are held by domestic investors. So as long as domestic investors feel that the Japanese government will eventually be able to pay them back, the risk of the kind of contagion that we've seen in Europe is, so far anyway, seems to be rather small.
John Brinsley, Asia government editor for Bloomberg. John, thanks.
Thank you.
As we told you earlier, a tsunami hit northern Japan right after the quake struck, causing water to gush miles inland. White House officials say waves that swept through the Hawaiian Islands didn't cause much damage there, and that's a good sign for the U.S. West Coast, they say, that the waves are losing their punch. Indonesia still has the battle scars from a tsunami that plowed through just after Christmas 6 years ago, so the country isn't taking any chances. From Jakarta, here's the BBC's Kate McGowan.
Indonesia has nothing like the money and resources available in Japan to build homes to withstand earthquakes and tsunamis. Many homes are just simple structures right on the coastline, giving little protection from even small swells. But Indonesia has learned from the huge Asian tsunami of 2004 that devastated the country and killed 170,000 people. It's introduced an early warning system in at least some areas. It's a similar story in the neighbouring Philippines. Richard Gordon is chairman of the Philippines Red Cross and says people are far more aware now of what to do should a tsunami hit.
All we have is the early warning system, and the system that tells us, common sense, to go up the highest area that you can climb up to. If you're in a building, go up the fifth floor, sixth floor. If you are beside the coastline, get away from the coastline. Go up the nearest hill, go up as high as you can.
But it's a constant concern for Indonesia. And ironically, in just a few weeks' time, more than 20 countries had scheduled a big tsunami drill in North Sulawesi. The scene was a quake which triggered a tsunami that was in danger of hitting other parts of the region. Now it's happening for real. In Jakarta, I'm the BBC's Kate McGowan for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are mostly lower, although U.S. stocks are trending up just a little bit. The S&P and NASDAQ up by just about 0.25%. The Dow is pretty much flat right now, 12,005, just above that 12,000 mark. In Tokyo, stocks were down about 2% for obvious reasons. Got word from some retailers that consumers spent the highest amount at stores in 4 months. A lot of that on gasoline. Oil's trading a little lower today at about $100 a barrel. The Labor Department said the jobless rate among 18 to 24-year-old veterans of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan is at 21%. That's about the same level as the year before.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Yellow Book 360, offering a spectrum of marketing tools for small businesses designed to go beyond yellow. More at yellowbook360.com. By Mass Mutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality. And by Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com.
Well, on to other economic news of the day. The new Apple iPad 2 goes on sale today, and by all accounts, it's going to sell really well. But what about all the other competitors in the market trying to sell similar tablets? Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
Apple sold 15 million iPads the first time around. Now everyone wants a piece of the tablet market. Industry analyst Tim Beharin says things are getting downright Darwinian.
The market can't support, 50, 60 tablets out there. It's going to be the survival of the fittest.
But is this all just a fad? Michael Gartenberg is a research director with Gartner.
We don't think iPads and media tablets in general are passing fads.
He says the tablet market will settle down after the shakeout. In the meantime, Forrester Research analyst Sarah Rotman-Epps says consumers will be able to get some good deals.
Consumers will have a lot of choice, and the prices of tablets will fall very quickly. This is the year that we think consumers will go look at lots of other tablets and then buy an iPad.
They'll get their first chance to check out the new, thinner, lighter, double-camera-toting model today. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And a reminder, check out more of our coverage of the earthquake in Japan and the subsequent tsunami as well at our website, marketplace.org. And of course, later today, more information on Marketplace with Kai Rizdahl. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Covering the economy is a 24/7, 365 kind of thing. So every Friday, we get a little help from our friends.
We were sinking fast, and we had no idea whether the world was coming to an end or not.
Oil goes high enough, people stop driving, they stop buying cars, they stop going out to eat.
There are bumps in the road, but consumers are starting to feel better.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the Weekly Wrap, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.